Thank you so much. And
we are again on the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. And I'd like to call your attention again to that chapter on chapter 11 on the book of Hebrews. We engaged two sermons on faith. And today I'm going to take the global picture of the chapter. Our brother read all these names to call your attention. Then I'm going to go back to the life of Moses and call your attention to what makes that man so successful. When I like to read, and I like to read in the university in London, where they have histories of great men, and I like to read to see what they did. What was the focus of attention of their life that really became successful? No one of the men that I read so far compared to the life of Moses. He was a man like you and me. He would make mistakes like killing somebody. You have not done, and I have not done. But this man was extremely successful. Extremely successful. And so today I want to talk to you about the believer's faith. Where do we focus our faith? What makes us strong in moments of troubles and difficulties? And this morning at 5:30 in the morning, I got a nerves attack as I was in my bed. Cannot move my right leg. And I had, after I leave here, after the preaching and eating some cookies, I had to preach in another church, in the Assyrian Presbyterian Church in San Jose. And I got, Raquel, I smooth roll myself and throw myself on the floor. And I said, Lord, this is the wrong time to give me this. So help me to roll to the hard floor so that I practice my exercises in therapy for an hour and recover. It took me an hour, a hard exercise. I said, in complaining. I don't need that now, but what makes us strong? I said, Lord, I know you plan all of this, so you're going to give me the result, but I need to do this exercise, I guess, so I can lose weight. So I did it all over and over and over again, then cried like a baby, and then reacted well. So thank God. What makes us strong? What makes us going? We need a focus of attention. So you are in Hebrews 11, and I want to tell you, with no doubt, this chapter is described the chapter of faith. Look at verse 1. Now faith is. Pay attention when the Bible said is. Somebody asked me in seminary, what the word is means. Well, President Clinton asked, remember that word? What the word is means. Well, is means is, all right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of everything you do not see, like the creation of the world in Genesis chapter 1. Why do we say God made it? Because we have faith in what the Bible says. All right? It's important. And so it's amazing. Now, how important is faith? Look at verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So faith is crucial, all right? You have no faith in God, you have no salvation, no future in heaven, no reward from God, nothing. You have no faith in God, you are completely lost. You are completely like John 9, you are born blind. Remember my sermon, Born Blind. You have no idea what the world is, no idea who you are, no idea where the hand is, no idea of anything. So you have no faith in God. You have no idea of life. It's so serious. Now, the people that our brother read here in 11, and starting in verse 32, endure untold tragedy, and yet they walk with God. They experience such a tragedy so great that nothing we will ever go through will compare at all with any of it. Yet, they have victory. Let me show you. Let me read it slowly again. 11, Hebrews 11, verse 32. Look, and what more shall I say? He already described a few peoples, and the author of Hebrews said, what more should I add to this? For the time will fail me to tell, and now he goes to the book of Judges. He said, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel. You know, these people are in the book of Judges. And if you have read the book of Judges 10 or 12 times, you get those people in your mind. All right? Gideon. When God called Gideon, he said, oh, no, no, me. I'm a coward. I don't like anything. He said, God said, I'm calling you. Oh, no, 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 no. He said, okay, if you call me, turn fire here in Samson Cook. And God turned fire in Samson Cook. And they still don't believe it. I mean, he was a coward. And then he get 300 men and faced 6,000 Iraqis. Wow. Wow. See? David. David was a person that loved much himself. And God used it. Samuel. All right? Look at verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wore righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. Like David. Unbelievable. I tell people, if you want to see really action, you read the Bible. And you read there in Samuel, David is walking and it's a lion. So I don't like that. He got it. And we are afraid of little ants that comes into our table. It's just amazing. Sometimes it came a little tiny ant in my home. And Raquel said, look at that! Like that was a big enemy. All right? And I cannot see it. She's walking. Wow. That's what happened in our life. We are the children of the living God. We are the children of a powerful God. And a tiny little obstacle like mine in this morning. You mean, God, that this nerve will stop me to do this? No, God. Help me to roll to the wood floor so that I have a strength, and then I will work my body on. It's just amazing. You know, we are so prompt to quit, so prompt to panic. You know, it's just amazing what they say here. Verse 34, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. I like that. Out of weakness. We are all weak. I'm not strong. We are all weak. But out of weakness, God made you strong. Became violence in battle. Turned to flight to the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourging, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They suffered things that we have no idea. So my question is, what makes those people go? What makes those people go? What happened? What makes those people go? What is it? When you go to a psychologist and you are depressed, the psychologist will say, well, let me help you to see the light at the end of the tunnel. That's the very first statement of a psychologist to you. So that you, all right, I'm going to have... And then you come for 4-hour visits, and he will guide you. Now, what is the light at the end of a tunnel that these people saw? What was the reason they underwent their fears of life with glory? What was their secret? The answer is found in verse 27. If you go to Hebrews 11, 27... then you find the answer. Look at about Moses. It's a comment about Moses, but it's in all of these people the same. Verse 27. by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Why? For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You know, when we got a problem, we see the problem, but we don't see Jesus, don't we? We focus on the problem rather than focusing on Jesus. One of the best times of my life is 4:30 to 5:30 in the morning, where I read my Bible. And I read the hard books, Judges and things like that. And I'm looking, as a psychologist, I'm looking for something that these people did that's above anything else. And I'm writing for my daughter a little booklet, where in the Bible I find help. And so I just have A to Z, and I write it down with my apple pie, all the reference that I find. And I told my daughter, when I die, this iPad is yours. It has the answers of my 4:30 to 5:30 studies that I enjoy it. And I forgot the whole world. And I look on it, and it's fascinating how those people who were successful were the people that focus on the target, whether it's God in the Old Testament or Jesus in the New Testament. They focus on the invisible. They saw it, and they know that God cannot do wrong to you. He only do right. And if you have a pain that you cannot stand, for it's for a reason. So enjoy a good hour of therapy, and then preach in the church. We dwell in the negative. We dwell in the things that go wrong, rather than the wonders of what God wants me to do now that something is wrong. Imagine that you have a faucet and it cannot stop, and you call somebody and then somebody come in and say, oh, yeah, that cannot stop. It don't fix it. All right? So you want to focus on the solution. It's just beautiful. It's just wonderful. It's just without imagination. I have found that a person can go through just about anything in their life if they see the Lord each time, each move, each problem that they have. If they can focus and see the Lord at the end of the tunnel. I do not know what you are going through right now, but I know God. And I know that if you ever, get a glimpse of the invisible one, you will never be the same. I tell you, once you see it once, God, you will never see the same. I used to panic, oh, something is wrong, or this don't work, or there is not enough offering in the church. And I used to think Raquel was the one who was strong. They said, God will answer, will say to me, come down. And God gave me a companion that put me down. Relax and say, let's pray, let's focus. God's going to do something. Noah, your time and his time and so on. And it was remarkable. So I want to have just three little things that I want you to see in the life of Moses that really give him a strength in his life, and I want it for me. So this morning, from these verses, I want to focus again on Moses and see the marvelous experience of a man who suffered like no other man. And he was negative too. Remember when he was called in Exodus 4? Oh, he said, I cannot speak. Say, God said, I will speak for you. Oh, I cannot. He, one excuse, the whole chapter 4, one excuse after the other. Until God, if I'm God, I say, get out. You're no good for my job. No, you know what God did? He said, you see that little thing in the floor here? Pick it up. And became what? A serpent, remember? And then he said, put it down. It became a rod. He said, you see, Moses, you need me, no you. I don't need you, but I want to use you. And then I think when Moses saw that he got a rod and became a serpent, and then he put it down and became a rod, that did it. And sometimes a very hard experience in our life, sometimes a very rocky experience in our life, shake us up, and then we see God. And that is a beautiful thing for our life. So, let's work together. Number one, there is a special birth mentioned in the Bible, chapter 11, verse 23. Look at what the Bible said. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. If you go with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 1, then that's what the Bible is talking about. In the second book of the Bible, Exodus, chapter 1, you find the king decree who was so evil. In Exodus chapter 1 verse 15, the Bible said, "Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew's midwives, of whom the name of one was Sipprah and the name of the other Puah, and he said, 'When you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then he shall live.'" Verse 17 said, "But the midwife feared God and did not do that." So Moses was born under that circumstance. Some people said, you know, it's terrible how the world is today. Can you imagine having children at this time? I said, you don't know how the world was then. But what do you mean? I mean, there was a time in the world that if a child was born and was a male, was killed. Where? People are so ignorant. They said, where? So I had to go to the Bible and show them. And this was in the number one country of the world, Egypt. This was there. And if a child from the Hebrew nation was born, it was a male, need to be killed. The king misjudged the ladies who did the work, and they were believers. And you saw that verse 17, he said, "But the midwife feared God." Why the midwife didn't that? Because they fear God. You got the pictures? They fear God. And so, under these circumstances, Moses, going back to the book of Hebrew, Moses was born under the pressure. There was a special birth. There was a miracle birth. Actually, Moses should be dead. And you remember this story as you keep on reading in Exodus 2, that he was placed in a little basket, he was thrown in a river, and happened that here is the top people of the kingdom coming by, they get the basket, the lady loved it, and he was raised in the king's house as the next emperor of Egypt. Wow. I wonder of people that the Bible don't mention, what the mother felt. You know, I mean, you're the mother. And I see Tricia with the little ones, and I see others with the little children. You love those children, you die for those children. A mother die for the children. And then let it go. You need to have faith, don't we? You need to see the invisible at the end of the tunnel. I wonder what Moses' mother saw. How did she saw God that she let that baby go into death? What did she saw? Faith. Faith. Moses is mentioned, but the mother, what a faith. What a faith of that woman. And then I wonder when she was called. Can you feed the baby? Can you see? I think I will cry the whole day out of joy. Amazing. And then when he saw that man becoming educated in Egypt and becoming a leader of his country. And so here is what it is. You need a special birth. The beginning of all is you need a special birth. Look at it in John Gospel in chapter 3. This is the birth that we all need. We need that miracle birth. All right? Look at chapter 3, and let me read from you, John Gospel, chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus is talking to an educated man, a doctor in the law. He's a member of Sanhedrin. He is a man of reputation, and he's asking questions to Jesus. And Jesus said to him in verse 3, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now remember when I preach about the blind man, that he doesn't know anything? Well, that's who we are. And this man, educated, with college graduate degree, that Jesus talking to him and said, "You need to be born again." He said, "How can I be back in the wombs of my mother?" See how we think? We think physically. We, a natural man, cannot think spiritually. Can think physically. Because Nicodemus in verse 4 said unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb?" And Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit." Now Jesus trying to, he's a man who knows the Bible. He knows what the Spirit is and what water is. Nicodemus knows those values from the Old Testament. And so he's waking him up. What a great lesson for us believers when we witness. We need to measure who is talking, how much that person knows, and then submit little Bible truths so that we wake up the person. And in verse 7, he say again, "Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again." You know, you cannot have the enjoyment and the power and the life of Christianity and fullness unless you are a believer. You can be a member of a church, you can sing in the choir, you can preach in the pulpit, but unless you are a believer, you will not have results in your life. You will not have victory in your life. Because I tell you something, this life is a life of trials. This life is a life of difficulties and problems. Problems that you do not create it sometimes, problems that sometimes we create it. But there is problems. But you need that faith. And that faith doesn't come by reading a book of history, by reading a book of religion. That faith comes by the grace of God. When you read the Bible, and at one time in your life, you say, "That's it. I believe it." Remember Romans 10:17? Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. So I thank my grandma. When it's by the eye, never told you that, I even cut the pages, and I even cut the pages of her Bible because I was tired of so much reading. I thank my grandmother that a beautiful chocolate, that ugly chocolate, you know, it's bitter, true chocolate is bitter, and it was boiling, and I take it, and then she reads, rah, 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 in Arabic language, rah, 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 and with a guitar, and I said, "Lord, when this is going to end?" But the chocolate was there. And I learned to eat 1 pound of chocolate a day. Oh, man, it was good. I tell you, it was so good. But Grandma was doing something. She was dropping in my head the Word of God. And the Word of God produces faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So what pleases God one day, he wakes me up. And I knew the truth. And so here it is, if you are here in the auditorium, or you are listening over the radio, or listening over the internet, be sure that you have the faith of God in your heart. Be sure that you have read the Bible, and at one time you say, "I'm a sinner, and I need to rebuild my life entirely. I need my spirit to be one with God," and you trust the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ as the value of that commitment. And if you have done this, if you saw that the blood of Christ have washed away your sins, the payoff of the penalty of Adam has been completed, and now you are anew, I guarantee to you the Spirit of God is on you, because Ephesians 1:13 said clearly that when we hear the gospel and once we believe it, the Holy Spirit seals us. And so when the Holy Spirit seals us and put us together, then you are not the same. You have now connection with God. You have the light at the end of the tunnel. But you cannot have the light at the end of the tunnel until you are born again. All right? That's the first part. Going back to the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, verse 25. A special life follow. He said, "Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. I like the translation, the passing pleasures of sin. He said, choosing, he said in verse 25, to suffer affliction. You choose a life as a Christian. You choose a life of this. Cost me a lot of years, I will say 8 years, to understand that Sunday is the day of the Lord. I was a professional soccer player and at that time play on Sunday. And the church pray, Raquel pray, my mother pray, everybody pray, but man, what a glory moment I have. It's only 2 hours, I said. Actually, it was not, because you are concentrated the day before, and then you leave the day after, so 3 days for the game. But it's you're walking the stadium and you see this, and you're, hey, what's wrong? And then you catch a penalty kick and you get $10,000. I said, Mama, look, you know. And I said, this is evil, she said. Raquel said, I had nothing to do with that. Took me 8 years to understand that God is serious business. You worship me. You dedicated to me. You love me. And so I became faithful to that. It drills in my mind. All right? So a special follow. Here it is. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. And I want you to show you in the book of Job. That's one book before the book of Psalms. In chapter 23 and in verse 10, a testimony of Job, okay? What he said in his heart. Look at what he said in 23 and in verse 10, one book before the book of Psalms. But he knows the way that I take. Ha, ha, ha. I can fool you, you can fool me, but we can all fool God. You see it? He knows the way I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. In other words, Job said, I don't want to miss it. Because God knows this. Let us not be fooled. God knows our way. And I'd like you to show 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 and verse 57. But thanks be to God who gave us victory through what? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the second point that I really want to make with you is this. There is a special life to follow. You become a believer, there is a special life to follow. You just believe God and do what God said, and step by step, there is hard moments, there are difficult moments, there are moments who look like death, but if you see the light at the end of the tunnel, if you see Jesus at the end of the tunnel, you will be successful. Finally, there is a special tactics that Moses used. Going back to Hebrews chapter 11, I'll show you a few verses that are remarkable. They are explained in the book of Proverbs, but he did it. How did he answer the people around him? Look at here, the special tactics he employed. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, look at. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, he refused to be called. The first thing we have to do is to refuse to do anything that is not in the Word of God. I just refuse. You are a young girl, you are a young boy, and you are at the age of being married. There is hundreds of girls and hundreds of boys around the world, but you need to refuse to be married to someone who is not a believer in Christ. You need to refuse yourself without talking to anybody. Say, Lord, bring me that girl that will give me the joy. Bring me that boy that will secure my life. But I have to be one of yours. There is no choice on that. All right? He said he refused. All right? Look at verse 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt. There are temptations everywhere. Temptations everywhere. And you need to say no. He forsook. He say no to temptations. Any offer, you measure the offer. Is that offer that I receive godly? Is this pleasing God if I do this job or I do this or do the other? Very, very clever. He said that here, he forsook Egypt. He had nothing to do with that. All right? And look at verse 28. By faith, he kept the Passover. In other words, you know why you are here in church today? Because you have faith. That's why you are here in church. You have faith. That's why you are here. You have faith. You believe. By faith, he not forsook the Passover. The Passover is equal to the Lord's Supper in one manner or other. And he said, I will not, I'm just going to be, whatever God requires, is that's what I'm going to do. Whatever God provides for me, that's what I'm going to do. And then clearly here, verse 28. And in a nutshell, if you go to Proverbs, in chapter 3 of Proverbs, you know it by heart, these texts. In a nutshell, this is what Moses did. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, look at what the Bible said. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You need to trust God with no reservation. That would be another way to put it. I would trust God but no reservations. When I was very young, I guess from 12 years old, can you believe it? I like girls from 12 years old. And I was visiting my neighbors. And they have a gorgeous girl at 11, and I was 12. And my mother never thought anything. Then 13, and she was 12. Then 14, and I knew math, and I taught math in my neighborhood to the people to help in the school. And my mother noticed, you know, mothers, you cannot fool a mother. Mothers read your heart. And she said, well, it's better than Esther comes to our home rather than you going to Esther's home. Oh, no, but I was there. I was alone with her. And my home would be my mother, my grandmother, my uncle, it would be everybody. And it's just so important. The trust in the Lord with all your heart. In other words, don't make reservations for yourself. Don't make, well, I trust the Lord 95%. Trust the Lord with all your heart. He knows the best. You need to be married, the Lord's going to provide a girl, the Lord's going to provide a man. You need a job, the Lord is going to provide the job. It's going to be a little harder to get it, but so on, but it's going to be in that way. In other words, trust the Lord with all your heart. Look at what they said. And lean not to your own understanding. Wow. That's very hard, don't it? But Lord, I'm a college degree. I'm a graduate degree. But trust not to that stuff. All right? And then six becomes more complicated. Six says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Wow. When you date somebody, you acknowledge God in that presence. I was jealous of that. Jealous of one daughter. Can you imagine? Jealous like a tiger. And then Daniel Lacey comes around and came to visit from Los Angeles. He drove all the way to visit our home. And he said, Dad, can I go to the park? And I said, yes. And he has a Bible in his hand. And I told my wife, it's not, I don't believe it. So he left and I left. I got binoculars. Yeah, I've been in the Navy. Yeah, all right. And then from another tree, I saw they were sitting reading the Bible and I started crying. I almost crushed my binoculars. How faithful is God? How wonderful is God? Daniel is a man of God. How wonderful is God? In all your ways, acknowledge him. And what? I like that. And he shall direct your path. Now notice that the Bible says he shall direct your path. Acknowledge him. He said, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Sometimes people say, why God is doing this in my life? Because calling your attention. You're on the wrong track or you're doing the wrong thing. And so stop it. Make an evaluation and come back to the right place. I love that verse that we saw at the very beginning, that verse 27. He walked as seeing the invisible. The light at the end of the tunnel was no success, was no secure job, was not something that he get. The light at the end of the tunnel in our life is Jesus. And if we see that, we're going to have success. My question to you is this. What light do you see at the end of the tunnel in your life? you lose your job, what light do you see at the end of the tunnel? You need to be married, and you need to have a companion. What light do you see at the end of the tunnel in your life? In other words, think, what is my strength? What is my target? Who is the one who enabled me to move on in life? I hope that you are a born-again Christian, and you wake up and put Jesus at the end of the tunnel of life so that you and I can walk very successful in life. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you have given us the instructions, and you have given us examples in the Bible of people that were extremely successful because they saw the light at the end of the tunnel, Jesus Christ. Maybe someone here or someone listening over the KKMC or over the internet doesn't have Jesus. Lord, have mercy on such a person and reveal yourself through your word, Jesus Christ our Lord. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.